you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. With sequestration cuts looming, the White House called in some big-name defense contracting executives today to talk strategy.
The focus of the conversation was the potential devastating impacts of the sequester going into effect.
White House spokesman Jay Carney said the executives asked for the defense cuts to be canceled.
The notion that allowing sequester to take effect would somehow have limited effect or would be reversible, that notion was disputed heavily in the meeting.
President Obama is pushing Congress to replace the sequester with a, quote, balanced mix of spending cuts and tax revenue increases. But Republicans say the sequester was the White House's idea in the first place. The GOP also says it's done raising taxes. The House did pass legislation today requiring Obama to estimate when the federal budget will balance again. 26 Democrats voted in favor of the Require a Plan Act, which is part of a new Republican effort to force Obama and Senate Democrats to engage in efforts to cut the deficit. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
This is the Warrior Catholic Show. You are listening on a Wednesday, and it's another week has flown by, and it is great. We're here on Conservative Nation Radio, and if you want to be a part of the program, please call in at 718-305-7176. Love to hear from you. Got an action-packed show scheduled for you tonight. Hopefully we'll have a guest calling in the next at some point tonight, but until then, there is plenty to talk about, both on the Catholic side of things and on the political side of things. There's always something going on. So anyways, it's been I kind of like broadcasting on a Wednesday just because it's in the middle of the week. There's already been some stuff happening, and there's enough time for the Obama administration to screw something else up, and all the hosts on Conservative Nation Radio are very glad to discuss those things. But the topic for this hour, I guess it kind of blends the church and state a little bit, one of those no-nos to liberals, which I am very happy to do. I want to talk about charity. And what I mean by that is what is societal role we have in helping those who are less fortunate or are truly unable to support themselves. Now, the liberals like to create a vast welfare state and spend more and more and more and more money on entitlement programs. And as you and I already know, these things are looking to bankrupt the nation. Obamacare is another monstrosity. I just saw today in the news that they're looking to push through all these illegals and grant amnesty. And I saw that the CBO scored that if that were to happen, it would add $1 trillion on top of the overall expenses of Obamacare. So there's one entitlement program. Then, of course, we have our food stamps. We have our welfare and everything like that. And these things are just ballooning beyond sustainability. Now, what I'm interested in discussing and checking out here is what would the church have to say about that? Because as a conservative, I also try to frame my political views based on Catholic Church teaching, as I am Catholic. And that's why we call it the Warrior Catholic Show, calling everybody to be warriors and stand up for the faith. But what role does society have in supporting the less fortunate, those who are unable legitimately to support themselves? Now, let me tell you, I work at a gas station convenience store, and, you know, we accept food stamps there. Now, at this store, we also sell subs, and we sell specialty drinks like lattes and mochas and things of that nature. Now, I will readily admit I'm only seeing maybe one side of it, but I see plenty of people who come in using their food stamps. Always on the first, we get a huge food stamp rush of people that come in and buy sodas and chips and 3 or 4 foot-long subs. You can buy them cold. You can't get a hot steak sub, but you can get, you know, a cold cut sub and all this stuff. And they load up on frozen mochas and frozen lattes. So, you know, and they spend quite a considerable amount of their food stamp allowance on this. Now, before everyone gets all outraged, I'm not going completely against food stamps, but I'm questioning this use of them. And I know it's not everyone either. If you've got an opinion or a comment, please feel free to call in 718-305-716. We're talking about charity, helping the poor, and what maybe we should do to reach out and help these people. Now, food stamps can be a useful thing for someone who, especially in today's economy, has suddenly lost a job, who is struggling and has family to feed, and all of a sudden, just like that, bam, there goes the income. It's gone, and people still need to eat. So getting a temporary benefit like that, I personally don't have a problem with, but, you know, when we are broadcasting and advertising food stamps as, you know, especially to illegals that are coming across the border, we advertise it to as something that's wonderful to be on. It's still, regardless, it's still living off the public dole, and it's still costing trillions of dollars, all of these entitlement programs. So what I see, I've participated in debates on social media sites and about this issue, and I'm not railing against its legitimate use. What I'm talking about is the abuse of these programs. Now, if people who can get a job don't because they just want to get on the public dole, I personally take issue with that. You know, in inner cities, there's a whole subculture of living off of food stamps. As soon as you reach your age, well, you just go get your welfare and your food stamps, and that's how you live. And it isn't a good life. It isn't a prosperous way to live. You spend, one half of the month spending all this money on frivolous things like lattes and mochas and, you know, subs and chips and candy, and then spend the rest of the month, you know, the second half of the month, unable to afford anything because you just spent it all on crap, to tell you the truth. And, you know, is that really helping someone? Is that truly helping them pull themselves up by the bootstraps and support themselves? Is just tossing money their way and only little bits, you know? Food stamps is designed to not help people support themselves. It's designed to help people stay on it. There was a girl at my job she has a daughter, and she was on food stamps for a little bit, and, you know, she was using that to feed her family, her daughter, and, you know, when she started working, it was completely cut off, but she still wasn't earning enough to actually, you know, buy the food that was needed. We're not talking about frivolous things. We're just talking about getting food to support herself and her daughter, and she called a social worker who informed her that if she wanted to receive benefits, she would have to quit her job or seriously reduce hours. Now, I ask you, is this helping someone support themselves? 718-305-7176. We have this vast entitlement mentality that has spread throughout the country. And the Democrats know it and they play to it. It's their largest voting block out there. You know, those evil Republicans want to take away the benefits, so we have to vote to make sure that we're still getting ours. Now, it's absolutely dirty. And, you know, with this whole amnesty issue coming up now, you know that all the Democrats see is a large voting bloc, because Hispanics especially voted overwhelming majority for Obama in this past election. So all they see is a large voting bloc who they can bribe with more public benefits. But my question is that really helping them? Is that charitable? There's a difference between the person who suddenly loses their job or finds themselves in a situation where they are unable to support themselves for a little while. Okay, fine. But what is our duty and our role here? Is it something even the state should be jumping in first? What is the role? What is the charitable thing for Christians to be doing? You know, and in some of these places, it's, oh, you're struggling? Oh, just go get on food stamps, or go get on WIC, or go get on any number of programs that are designed for people to live off of. And my take is that's not true charity. That's not helping people. That is furthering their a lifestyle that is living from small government paycheck to small government paycheck, a paycheck that isn't even earned, so to speak, but is paid for by the taxpayers. Now, the leftist media would like conservatives like us to think we're just a few lonely voices in the wilderness. But don't be fooled. Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals by 2-1, according to numerous polls, even by liberals. If you respect traditional American values, there's a place for you to call home on the internet. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com, or TRADAM, as we call our home. TraditionalAmericanMovement.com is the place where real conservatives can meet up without turf wars and find out what's new in the conservative community. Join up, find out what's happening, and be a part of the conservative revolution. All on TraditionalAmericanMovement.com. That's www.TraditionalAmericanMovement.com. I hope to see you there soon. Oh, and by the way, TRADAM is a liberal-free website, so you don't have to worry about that. So anyway, we're talking about charity here, welfare, and the role of just everyday citizens. Right now, most of our money is being funneled into these exorbitant programs that are absolutely skyrocketing out of control, and it's absolutely ridiculous. We are spending trillions of dollars, and Obamacare is looking to be – well, it already is. It's the next huge thing that is going to – absolutely, you know, it's destroying us. We don't have the money to pay for these things, and it's kind of sad and it's kind of scary that's what's happening. So what do we do? I mean, people, it is incumbent upon Christians to help those that are less fortunate. I mean, Jesus walked around saying, hey, you want to follow me? Give away all your money. And then come follow me. So, you know, with that in mind, I don't recall Jesus saying, so therefore go ye and create a vast government bureaucracy to dole out little bits of money to lots of people in order to earn votes. I don't remember seeing that in the Bible. Correct me if I'm wrong. 718-305-7176. I'm not too familiar with Jesus saying that. So with that in mind, what are Christians supposed to do? Now, I remember, I believe it was during the Bush administration, he really had a big push to help to allow charities more of a, I don't know, more of a, a say in I don't know, helping out those less fortunate, allowing those organizations, charitable organizations, to step up and fill the gap. We got to take a break now, but more on this when we come back. Don't go away. ConservativeNationRadio.org is proud to be associated with the most effective identity security and credit monitoring service there is, LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock, go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. That's conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCSforAutomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
And we're back. You're listening to the Warrior Catholic Show on Conservative Nation Radio. I'm Chris Ricketts, your host. If you want to be a part of the show, and I highly encourage you to do so, please call in at 718-305-7176. We are talking about the welfare state versus individual people helping out individual people. Now, the Democrats, the liberals, are not going to want to give up the monopoly they have on the entitlement programs. Although, personally, I believe it would be great to have a more – if the government could give up some of that. Yeah, I know. Isn't that hilarious? And allow charitable organizations, nonprofits and whatnot, churches and individuals to be able to better reach out in their communities to help those who are suffering or those who suffer a crisis. Now, the nonprofit is a purely American invention. It was created to fill in the gaps that government cannot quite do. And it's great because we don't want government to do everything. That's one of our conservative beliefs here. We don't want that nanny state overreaching and doing everything. And nonprofits really stepped up to say, hey, we're going to take this cause and we're going to take this, we're going to help people. And they get a tax break for doing so. And we get tax breaks for donating to charitable organizations. Although I haven't researched it thoroughly, but I believe that the Obama administration isn't a fan of that tax deduction. You know, one of those loopholes for evil rich people or something. So we have. If we can, at the community level, the small level, the micro level, if we can enable community outreach and allow citizens to use their money to donate to more and give them a better tax break for donating, I think we can also create a system that can help people who are experiencing financial hardships suddenly or whatnot, and not have to bankrupt the nation while doing it. Now, I know we're probably never, ever going to get rid of, entitlement programs as a whole, and that's not necessarily what I'm advocating. What I'm saying is that we need to decentralize some of it into the down to the community level, or even just the state level, where it can be better implemented. Because seriously, the federal government bureaucracies don't work. How is Washington going to help a town out in Wyoming or in Nebraska or anywhere else? So, and another thing I've thought about is that when we have such an entitlement mentality, when the government is doing all of the charitable work, charitable in quotations, that is, then it kind of makes us think individually that some of the burden isn't on us. Well, why should I help you out? You're on the government dole. Now, the nature of charity is a self-donation from something that we have to better someone else. And, you know, conservatives are far better at, you know, or give a whole lot more than liberals to charities. Now, you can look up, you know, do a quick Google search. You can find that information readily available. And Americans are quite generous with their money. Americans are ready to give at a moment's notice. So, but when we have that divide, and I can totally see it. Liberals have that mindset. Well, we have the state here. We have these programs. We have this and that. So why should I give my money when you can just go get on the public dole? Well, in a sense, you already, you know, all of us are giving our money to support the public dole. So, you know, with that in mind, you know, it takes off the burden of individual giving. Now, with those liberals there and with that attitude, you know, it makes you wonder. Conservatives and Republicans are always so we're the ones that are, you know, blamed, and we are portrayed as heartless people who just want to take away money from, you know, from the poor people who need it and blah, 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 blah. But what the reality is that we don't want to pour all of our money into some government program that's going to be used to buy votes for Democrats. Now, since the evidence shows that conservatives far outgive liberals in charitable donations, it makes you kind of wonder about who's really being the disingenuous, thrifty, you know, evil people who don't want to give anything. So, you know, that makes no sense to me. What do you think? 718-305-7176. We're talking about charity and the public dole and individual responsibility. And the whole basis of conservative thought boils down to the individual. It boils down to, what am I going to do to make a difference, to help out my fellow man, to make this country a better place? I don't want to shirk that responsibility onto some bloated government program and what is being done here through our government entitlement programs. It has gotten completely out of hand. I'm not against, you know, helping someone out who has, you know, lost their job or all of a sudden has had a medical emergency and has hundreds of thousands of dollars in medical debt, you know. I'm not against helping them out, but let's enable individuals to be able to decide what to do with their money over anything else. So it looks like we have a caller here, and we'll bring you on. Hello, thanks for calling the Warrior Catholic Show.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay. I thought something said I was muted, so I wanted to make sure. I was listening to what you're saying, and it reminded me of a little-known social teaching that the Catholic Church has, and it's the principle of subsidiarity, and how so often, especially the Obama administration, seems to like to pull this card of pretending that they're compassionate, and they really play on the Catholic social justice people who might not understand Catholic teaching that well, and who seem to think that, oh, well, if we're compassionate and if we're charitable, then we're going to redistribute your money. And, you know, universal health care is compassionate conservatism. Why don't you support it? And, well, I'm a Catholic, so of course I believe in as much welfare as possible. And they seem to think that, you know, you're almost, how can you be a Catholic and not be for all of these things? And the answer is, because of the principle of subsidiarity, in which the church says the entity that's closest to the problem should be the one who takes care of it. So, like, in other words, in a community, if, say, in just a small town, there's a homeless problem, and the town decides that they want to take care of it. And so subsidiarity says it should be the people in that town who address the problem. And if they don't have the resources necessary to help that homelessness in their town, well, then maybe they could go a step up and they can go to the township or to the county, however their state is broken down. And maybe then the county can step in and help. And then if that county can't do anything, you know, it can escalate. But the very first people who, according to the principle of subsidiarity, the very first people who should address a need would be like your charities and your local organizations, and even trying to leave government out of it completely. And if that can't happen, then you kind of go up the ladder. So I think the idea that it's charitable or that it's somehow compassionate of us to throw the federal government at every single social issue or maybe it's not social issue, but problem or that communities might face, it's completely backwards, and it's in fact not in keeping with the church teaching. And in fact, like Pope Leo and JP II went so far as to say, when subsidiarity is not adhered to, and when a federal government decides that it's the be-all, end-all, and the answer to every social ill, then, in fact, it takes away freedom, and it ends up harming the very people that they're trying to help. And I figured I'd bring up that interesting piece of information. I learned it not too long ago, and it seemed to fit with what you were saying, how, I don't know, we have this, like, warped idea of charity and government and what their roles are.
Oh, that's a very good point. Yeah, absolutely. The if Washington, like I said, can't have but maybe those people in the town of Arkansas can help out a whole lot better than the bureaucrats can.
Yeah, because they're closer to it, and they actually know what the needs are, as opposed to some overreaching bureaucracy who isn't even close to the actual issue at hand.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you for your call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. So she brought up a very good point with the Catholic principle of subsidiarity, and I did want to get to that. It's just saying that, you know, keep things at the most local level possible. It doesn't say there isn't a place for a state or federal government. It's saying, but that issues need to be handled at the most local level possible. Now, maybe there's a small town out there that has a homeless problem or something like that, that can't raise the funds or the people, you know, don't have the resources to help out everyone that needs it. So maybe a couple small towns could band together to solve this problem. You know, when the federal government steps in like this, it takes the responsibility away from those, you know, who are closest to the problem, and creates the idea that, well, I really don't need to help because, you know, the federal government is just going to step in. So, you know, it's a tough issue, and, you know, it's easy for the liberals to demonize Republicans and saying, oh, they just want to take away the money. No. That's not the case at all. And you know, since conservatives outgive in charitable donations liberals, that claim is simply false. However, that being said, I think that it would be much better if Americans were able to, one, hold on to more of their money, and two, have more incentives through maybe tax breaks and other things to give to charitable organizations that can help out and are looking to help those in the community. So, you know, it's like I said, it's a tough issue, and it's something that is, you know, we need to do something, because at the rate we're going, we can't afford all the entitlement programs that we are creating. So with that in mind, I've got to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're probably going to switch over into the political realm as I unabashedly mix church and state, to the dismay of liberals everywhere, and I don't put them in a box because one fuels the other and should be interrelated. So don't go away. We will be right back.
Are you tired of your hard-earned money going to support liberal and progressive enterprises? I know I am. That's why I shop at thethirdlantern.com. This conservative marketplace ensures that your money is well spent and supports conservative entrepreneurs dedicated to making their products here in America. Look, I'm a business owner. I know how hard it can be to get your product out there. Get on his vendors list, and it will help your sales. I have had his barbecue sauce. It is amazing. Check out the website, thethirdlantern.com. That's the number 3, RD, lantern.com. Send your liberal friends there and tell them Higgin Resch sent you. TheThirdLantern.com. Put your money where your ideology is.
This Valentine's Day, give your special someone a beautiful Swarovski crystal heart made by women who have survived war in South Sudan. These stunning items are available in small, medium, and large sizes and come in crystal, red, pink, and other beautiful colors. And the best part? They're yours starting at just $25 plus shipping. To order yours today, go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com and click on shop. Again, that's goatsfortheoldgoat.com and click on shop.
Hey, what's up? This is Gwen speaking for Rad. Give up the keys. Choose a designated driver. Music lives. So should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
And welcome back. This is the Warrior Catholic Show on conservativenationradio.org. I highly encourage you to be a part of the program and call in at 718-305-7176. I am Chris Ricketts, your host, and it is half past the first hour, and we're just talking about, you know, charity versus the government welfare state and all that. But I want to switch over into more of the political realm here with, you know, some things that I've been tracking. Now, if this has been big news, and we talked a lot last week about how the Department of Homeland Security has been arming itself to the teeth, buying over 1.2 billion rounds of ammo in the last year and a half or so, how they want to purchase, there was an order put in for 7,000 AR-15 style rifles, fully automatic and semi-automatic. They have purchased, I believe, something like 400,000 or so radiation tablets and hundreds of bulletproof roadside checkpoints. So they really sound like they're getting ready for a war, except they're the Department of Homeland Security. They operate on American soil. So, you know, when you're arming yourself like that, what are we doing? It sounds like a war on the American citizens to me. But now we have another piece to add to that, another chess piece, another building block, however you want to refer to it. And this is from NBC News. You may have heard about the new drone strike news, and it's been all over this week. So it came out that a secret memo from the Justice Department provides new information about the legal reasoning behind one of the Obama administration's controversial policies. So basically, the U.S. government can order the killing of American citizens if they are believed to be senior operational leaders of al-Qaeda or an associated force, even if there is no intelligence indicating they are engaged in an active plot to attack the U.S. So let's break that down here. We have Department of Homeland Security is arming itself in preparation for what looks to be an all-out civil war, or a war against the American people. And now we have the Justice Department coming out saying that the Obama administration they say the U.S. government, but it's the Obama administration, can now order the killing of American citizens, only if they are believed to be senior operational leaders of Al-Qaeda or an associated force. You hear that language right there? An associated force. That could mean that, I don't know, a pro-life organization that is actively protesting, abortion could be an associated force. And why do I say that? Because Janet Napolitano has already came out with, during Obama's first term, a list of possible terrorist groups, and pro-life organizations were on that, as well as radical right-wing groups. So an associated force, the Tea Party maybe, or any other conservative group that is vocal in speaking against the Obama administration and their terrible policies. So now the Obama can just order them to be killed, even if, and this is where it gets even worse, even if there is no intelligence indicating they are engaged in an active plot to attack the U.S. So that language boiled down gives them the authorization to just take out anyone they want under the guise of their threat to national security. Folks, if this isn't sending chills up and down your spine, I don't know what will. Please let me know your opinion on this. The number is 718-305-7176. Love to hear from you. So at the same time, Obama and his drones, not the automatic ones, although I think some of the members in Congress are on automatic pilot for whatever Obama says, Obama and his administration and his lackeys in Congress, they're all looking to take away our guns, even though they might claim to the contrary. They're arming the Department of Homeland Security, and now they are legally authorizing themselves to kill U.S. citizens under the thin guise that they are senior operational leaders of Al-Qaeda or an ambiguous associated force. Even if they have no active intelligence that these people are engaged in an active plot to attack the U.S. It doesn't specifically say how they're going to attack the U.S. either. So, I mean, what could attacking the U.S. mean under this? Could it mean possibly just having a protest outside the Capitol? Could it be, having a town hall meeting to discuss opposition to Obama's policies? Folks, the pieces are lining up. I don't know. It seems like they're lining up to openly engage the American people in military operations. There, I said it. It's tyranny, and the pieces are falling into place. What do you think? 718-305-7176. Now, we can point out during the Bush administration, remember that whole warrantless wiretapping thing? Remember how the liberals were just screeching bloody blue murder? It was like from the moment that came out, it was this ongoing collective temper tantrum over how terrible it was and how can we do this to, U.S. citizens? What about privacy rights? Blah, blah, blah. And they were full of it. They didn't mean it. That wasn't, they all said how much they hated the Patriot Act. And have you seen it go away completely? No, Obama has quietly kept it, and now he's expanding to include the killing of American citizens on virtually no reason. We've already seen that American citizens can be detained for indefinitely. They can just be taken in if they're suspected of any kind of terrorist plot or anything like that. So they're really taking this whole terrorism thing now and using it as an excuse to create this, military state. It's easy. Oh, well, why did you take him in? Oh, he was suspected of cavorting with terrorists. He's suspected of terrorist activity. He was thought to be in league with Al-Qaeda or an associated force. Can they please define for me what an associated force is? because I'm a little unclear. I don't know about you. Maybe you can clarify. 718-305-7176. What's an associated force? And it's so ambiguous. It is so, I don't know. It's so open-ended that it can be used for anything. It can be used to attack and kill anyone who disagrees with the Obama administration. This is tyranny. It's the pieces falling in place for a military takeover of the United States. And that is terrifying. And that should terrify you. Because it certainly terrifies me. The Obama administration, it says here in this article, the secrecy surrounding such strikes is fast emerging as a central issue in this week's hearing of White House counterterrorism advisor John Brennan, a key architect of the drone campaign to be CIA director. Brennan was the first administration official to publicly acknowledge drone strikes in a speech last year, calling them consistent with the inherent right of self-defense. In a separate talk at the Northwestern University Law School in March, Attorney General Eric Holder specifically endorsed the constitutionality of targeted killings of Americans, saying they could be justified if government officials determine the target poses an immediate threat of violent attack. So there he's trying to say, well, if they're threatening to violently attack, you know, then we can go take them out, American citizens. But the language in this thing is so much more vague and broader than that. It's saying that under any circumstance they dream up that goes along with this pathetic document, they can just take out American citizens. You put all these pieces together, folks, and it paints an ugly picture. Taking away our guns, arming the Department of Homeland Security for a war, with enough ammo that could, last an Iraq war for over 7 years. You've got now this drone strikes can happen against anybody that, supposedly disagrees with the American government. So anyways, this is just outrageous. Hey, all you secret members of the Joe McCarthy fan club, join Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org at 9 p.m. Eastern this time. I know it's usually at 7 p.m., but this time around it's going to be at 9 p.m., and Duke is ready to go. And just join the you can check it out, conservativenationradio.org, for anything that we have all our sites listed there. And like I said, it's at 9 p.m. Eastern this time, 8 p.m. Central for Radio Free America. And while it's normally on Mondays at 7 Eastern, we're just going to switch it up this one time to keep the commies guessing. So if you love history, politics, flying, and the occasional Whitaker Chambers reference, please check out Duke Brooks on Radio Free America this Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. Now, we are talking about the Obama administration and the apparent arming themselves to wage war against the American people. You might say, he's just a conspiracy theorist. He's taking a little too far. I mean, look at what's going on. Look at what is laid out. Put it all together. It's not a pretty picture. It's not looking good for good old Uncle Sam and freedom loving, conservatives here. It's just not. And the more we ignore this, the more that, they are able to get away with it. I don't see the Democrats lining up to protest everything that the Obama administration is doing right now. Where is all the the protest and the whining and complaining and, everything that happened every time Bush wanted to do something, like, the Patriot Act or the warrantless wiretapping and everything like that. That was all they made a hysterical commotion over that, and now that it's their own boy in the White House doing it, They don't care. They're just lined up ready to receive their marching orders. You know, Obama has many drones. Some are mechanical and some are in Congress. And so anyways, we got to take a quick break here. Don't go away. More after this.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it. But he just throws it. Again. I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Now, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Warrior Catholic Show on ConservativeNationRadio.com. ConservativeNationRadio.com, and the call-in number is 718-305-7176. I am Chris Ricketts, your host, and we are talking about the Obama administration's maybe not too subtle arming themselves for what looks like possible war on the American citizens. I don't know what other way to read it. I don't know how else it could be interpreted. For our own safety? I mean, how many freedoms do we have to give up in order to be safe? That's what I want to know. How much do we have to give up of our own freedom as Americans in order to, I don't know, be safe? Now, when you have a government doing all these things, and, you know, with Obama, who likes to talk about compromise, who likes to talk about reaching across the aisle and blah, 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 blah. He's the most polarizing, rigid, you know, ideological president, you know, I can think of. He doesn't give an inch. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about compromise. When Obama says compromise, he means Republicans doing what I say. And then he still criticizes and blames them anyway. Because if the Republicans go along with it, then he is a perfect scapegoat for when his policies fail, which they inevitably will. So, you know, what is going on with this arming of the government? I mean, we have the military, which, you know, engages overseas and, you know, defends, at least historically, has defended our freedoms. But now we have a homeland military that is arming itself, that operates on American soil and now has authorization to kill American citizens based on, you know, nothing. So anyways, with that in mind, we have to be vigilant and we have to be careful about, I guess, now what we say, because if, you know, we criticize the Obama administration, we might get labeled as, I don't know, someone who is a another associated organization with Al-Qaeda, and now you can have a drone strike placed against you. That's not good. We don't want Americans getting killed without due process just because the government decides that they are, going against the, whatever Obama is talking about at this point. You know, it's really kind of scary. So anyways, if you have a comment on that, I would love to hear it. 718-305-7176. I want to get to some other news now. Just quickly, from usnews.com, the article is about climate change or global warming or whatever they're calling it today. It always the label always changes according to their, you know, political expediency, which is very convenient. So it says here that opinions on climate change rise and fall with the temperature. People in newspapers are more likely to believe in climate change during hot years. Wow. That says a lot about people. Americans' opinions on climate change blow with the wind, with more concerns shown in years that are much warmer or much colder than normal, according to a new study released Tuesday. Five of the nation's top newspapers were also more likely to publish opinion pieces that showed, quote, belief in climate change during years that were colder or warmer than normal. Previous studies have suggested that people are more likely to believe in or show worry about global warming when the weather is particularly bad. But the study published in the journal Climatic Change is the largest to date and uses data from 1990 to 2010, a much longer time period than previous studies. Now, that's kind of sad, folks. I mean, it also shows that the climate change, global warming, blah, 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 propaganda, all this, you know, stuff they've been shoving down people's throats is kind of working. It makes them think, oh my gosh, it's hot during the summer. This global warming thing, it's really real. Seriously, are we that gullible? Or, oh my gosh, it's such a cold winter. Maybe this global warming thing really is happening. You know? Or, oh no, that was a terrible storm. If global warming wasn't so bad, then that storm wouldn't have been so severe. I have to chuckle to myself over that one because it shows that people are that gullible. Well, I mean, we already knew that because they just reelected Obama. And it also shows that this, you know, the global warming campaign has at least had some effect on people. But it also implies that if the weather's fine and everything's fine and dandy, then you know, people aren't going to care so much about global warming. And I love using the term global warming because it just ticks off liberals. It's climate change. Well, I don't care. Make up your mind. I'm going to keep calling it global warming. Anyway, so yeah, that's we have that, and it's pretty sad, to tell you the truth. And then in other news from Fox News Nation, Chris Rock, the celebrity, supposedly. And again, this is pretty sad. And I try to ignore Hollywood and the things that all these, and I love the term celebutards have been saying, but Chris Rock showed up on Capitol Hill today to support President Barack Obama's gun control proposals. Here is what he said during the morning press conference. I am just here to support the President of the United States. President of the United States is our boss. But he is also, you know, the president. And the first lady are kind of like the mom and the dad of the country. And when your dad says something, you listen. And when you don't, it will usually bite you on the butt later on. So I'm here to support the president. So apparently Obama's our dad, according to Chris Rock. I guess I need to be put in my room because I'm not going to – I might listen to what Obama says and then, you know, burst out laughing when he's done talking if I can make it through a whole speech of his because his voice usually grates on my nerves. But yes, when your dad says something, you listen. So Chris Rock is saying that we're all supposed to just roll over and let President Obama, you know, tell everyone what to do because he's the boss. Well, I mean, he's trying to be through executive orders. He's more like a dictator. But, you know, Chris Rock, you know, you can go ahead and we'll put you in with Obama's drone club because, you know, that's just perfect. I did a little search earlier on Chris Rock and George Bush. Now, this guy had some things to say about George Bush, and it really didn't have anything to do with, you know, George Bush being the dad of the country, you know. Most of the stuff I can't repeat on these clean airwaves of ours, but it really wasn't pretty. He usually would be – he usually talked about what a horrible president George Bush was. He talked about, you know, how awful he was and how pretty much everything – anything Bush did, you know – It was something that Chris Rock had something to say about, and that something was usually negative and obscene. So, you know, he's a little shaky here. He's on shaky ground with this whole, you know, Obama's our dad thing. And, you know, I don't know, just speaking for myself, I beg to differ. The president is put there as a public servant. He's not there to be the boss. He's there to protect the nation. His primary duty is the commander-in-chief, protecting the nation. He also engages in foreign policy. So, you know, with that in mind, I don't want to hear about Obama being the boss or Obama being the dad, especially when Obama is arming himself to wage war on the American people. So if that's the case, I'm sure Chris Rock will be the first person to tell us all that we need to just listen to our daddy as he, you know, delivers justice and a firm, you know, spanking to all of us. I that kind of ticks me off. But, you know, it's Hollywood, it's celebrities, and they live in their own reality anyway, or version of reality that's not too real. So, you know, we'll just leave it at that. Again, if you want to be a part of the show, love to hear from you, 718-305-7176. And I just want you to know that Egypt has its own Joe Biden. That's right. Oh, boy, this is going to be good. So, you know, Joe Biden loves to he always says the most whacked out, ridiculous things. And no matter what he says, no matter how stupid he sounds, the American people just cheerfully, you know, give him a thumbs up and A-OK, Joe, you just keep plugging. And no one seems to care about, you know, the ridiculous nonsense that comes out of that man's mouth. Well, I want to let you know that I think Joe Biden may have been beat. That's right. I think he may have been surpassed, but he may have been surpassed by someone that in Egypt. And this guy, the Prime Minister Hisham Kandil, has outdone President Biden. And I'm only reading the headline, folks, so I have to, you know, don't kill the messenger. This is from IB International Business Times, and the headline is, "Women's unclean breath caused diarrhea, says Egypt Prime Minister Hisham Kandil." Forget about the war on women in the United States, folks. Actually, in Egypt, women are waging a war on everybody else by not cleaning themselves, because it apparently it's causing a diarrhea epidemic, according to Hisham Kandil. So he was speaking about the spate of recent epidemics in Egypt's rural communities. During the address, he said he had witnessed children suffering from diarrhea immediately after they have been breastfed because their mothers were unable to clean themselves properly. He added that many women in rural Egypt don't even bother to clean their nether regions at all before feeding their toddlers. So, yes, there it is. Joe Biden has been surpassed, I think, by this guy in Egypt claiming that, you know, this diarrhea outbreak is being caused by these women who are unable to clean their breasts. And, you know, folks, I can't make this stuff up. I'm just throwing it out there. What I've come across in scrolling through the headlines and the news and everything else. So we're almost at a break here. But before we do that, I just want to tell you about the next hour. I know it was advertised that we're going to be interviewing Shelley Lubin tonight of the Pink Cross Foundation. There may have been a mix-up with her, and we're just seeing if she'll call in, but hopefully she will. But if not, don't worry, folks. There's plenty to talk about on this end, and, you know, there's no reason to worry. There's always something to discuss. I've got plenty of headlines and plenty of news and commentary, and, of course, your phone calls if you would honor me with a phone call and let me know what you think. So all of that coming up in the next hour, more Catholic news, church and state news, as again, I love to mix up the church and state just to tick off the liberals because, you know, it's so important that, you know, the church stay out of the state, even though the state can come in and push the church around anytime they want to. So with that in mind, don't go away. We will be right back after this.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
And we are back. This is the Warrior Catholic Show on conservativenationradio.org. And I am Chris Ricketts, your host, and we are at the top of the second hour. And glad to be here, folks. There's a lot more to cover. Like I mentioned just a minute ago that we were the scheduled guest for tonight was Shelley Lubbin. And I was hoping we had arranged that she would call in, and there seems to have been maybe a bit of a mix-up here. So with that in mind, we'll get to some other news and headlines here on the Catholic side of things. Now, you may have heard that the Obama administration came out with a new provision for the HHS mandate. And, it was supposed to be more accommodating and supposed to be more open to, Christians or religious organizations that have a conscionable objection to the HHS mandate. But alas, a lot of folks are already saying it is not enough. Now, the Archbishop from Philadelphia, Archbishop Charles Chaput, has penned an article, a column called Making Sense of Another Ambiguous Obama Compromise. And I want to go over some of this with you. I love the way he writes, and I love the way he puts everything into a great perspective. And he's been very outspoken in the fight for religious freedom. If you want to weigh in on any of these issues, please feel free to call at 718-305-7176. And I'll just go over some of this article of his. He says, "To live well is nothing other than to love God with all one's heart, with all one's soul, and with all one's efforts. From this it comes about that love is kept whole and uncorrupted through temperance. No misfortune can disturb it, and this is fortitude. It obeys only, and this is justice. And is careful in discerning things so as not to be surprised by deceit or trickery. And this is prudence." That's from St. Augustine. He goes on to write, "The Catechism of the Catholic Church reminds us that prudence is the auriga virtutum, the charioteer of virtues. It's right reason in action, the guide to correctly apply all other virtues. Rash action, no matter how well-intended, violates prudence and usually does more harm than good. God gave us brains. He expects us to use them to judiciously pursue the highest moral good for others and for ourselves." Now, at the same time, the Catechism warns that prudence should never be used as an alibi for timidity or fear, duplicity or dissimulation. Real prudence has a spine called fortitude, the virtue we more commonly know as courage. And courage, in the words of C.S. Lewis, is not simply one of the virtues, but the form of every virtue at the testing point, which means at the point of highest reality. Now, Here's why both these virtues are vital in the weeks ahead. On Friday, February 2nd, the Obama administration issued for public comment a set of revised regulations governing the HHS contraceptive mandate. At first glance, the new rules have struck some people as a modest improvement. They appear to expand, in a limited way, the kind of religiously affiliated entities that can claim exemption from providing insurance coverage for contraceptive and abortion-related services under the new Affordable Care Act. White House apologists and supporters have welcomed the proposal. The New York Times called it a good compromise. Groups like the American Civil Liberties Union and NARAL, Pro-Choice America, have praised it. A little commentary here, folks. If NARAL's praising it, we already know we can throw it in the trash. Continuing, at least one Washington Post columnist implausibly called it a victory for America's Catholic bishops. Good job, Washington Post. The trouble is the new rules are very complex, and they may actually make things worse. In the words of Notre Dame law professor Gerard Bradley, gauging the net effect of the new administration proposal hazardous. But one can say with confidence the following. One, religious hospitals are, as before, not exempt religious employers. Two, religious charities are very likely not exempt either unless they are run out of a church or are very tightly integrated with a church. So a parish or even a diocese's St. Vincent de Paul operations would probably be an exempt religious employer, whereas Catholic charities would not be. Three, the new proposal may or may not make it more likely that parish grade schools are exempt religious employers, but Catholic high schools are a different matter. Some might qualify as religious employers, most probably will not. And, you know, this is already racking up to not sound very good. And, you know, I did see people who are saying, who are praising it and saying, oh, this is a good step forward. And, but again, like I said, if you go to NARAL and all the liberal groups saying, this is great, then we can already assume that it's not going to be good. The article continues, it is certain that Catholic colleges and universities do not qualify as exempt religious employers. The new proposal includes, however, a revised, quote, accommodation for at least some of these institutions as well as some hospitals and charities. The proposal refines the administration's earlier efforts to somehow insulate the colleges and universities from immoral complicity in contraception and anything else. Let's see. Mainly by shifting, at least nominally, the cost and administration of the immoral services to either the health insurance issuer, think Blue Cross, or to the plan administrator for self-insured entities such as Notre Dame. This proposal adds some additional layering to the earlier attempts to insulate the schools, but nothing of decisive moral significance is included. The White House has made no concessions to the religious conscience claims of private businesses, and the whole spirit of the compromise is minimalist. As a result, the latest White House compromise already has a wave of critics, including respected national religious liberty law firms like the Beckett Fund and the Alliance Defending Freedom. And many are far harsher than Professor Bradley in their analysis. You know, folks, this is, again, another ploy by the Obama administration to, you know, to try to placate Catholics and religious people who have a problem with a law that forces them to violate their consciences. It's just another ploy to get them to shut up and stop talking. When these kind of things happen, folks, whether it's for religious freedom, for fiscal responsibility, for anything else, it is our time then, if they're trying to silence us, to speak louder and say no. The fact that this HHS mandate even exists is offensive and unacceptable. The fact that it is even part of a law that they want to put out there is reprehensible. It is something that we need to fight and continue to fight. Please call in with your opinion, 718-305-7176. This is the Warrior Catholic Show, and we're talking about this latest accommodation sham from the Obama administration on the HHS mandate. How about this? Why is the government so dedicated to providing or making sure that birth control, out of all things, is covered in health insurance. Birth control, for the most part, for the majority of the case, is a lifestyle choice. I'm sorry. It is a lifestyle choice. It is on a different level of cancer. It is on a different level of any other number of actual health problems. But taking artificial birth control is a lifestyle choice and is something that the government really doesn't need to be involved in. It has become this centerpiece. And then all of a sudden, you know, opposing government-sponsored birth control has somehow turned into a war on women, where those evil Catholics and Christians or whoever else want to take it away from the poor women who need it. You know what? It's already available. There are health insurers that cover it. So to say that, you know, these people are trying to force the hand here and make it completely illegal, that's ridiculous. That's absolutely ludicrous. And that's not even the case. What we're talking about is the government coming in and forcing people to provide something that isn't a real necessity through tax dollars, forcing people to violate their conscience when they say, you know what, I have a moral opposition to the use of artificial birth control, and so therefore I'm not going to engage in supporting it. You know, we always hear, you don't like abortion, don't have an abortion. Well, now we're trying to say as Catholics, well, I don't like contraception, so I don't want to be involved in supporting people using it. Why is that logic all of a sudden different? I don't like contraception. I don't want to use it, and I'm trying not to support it through my own tax dollars. And I'm not trying to tell anyone else that there should be a law or lobbying for legislation saying that a birth control should be illegal. It's already out there. All you got to do is go into a drugstore. It's not that hard. So, you know, this whole war on women thing is absolutely ludicrous. And now we have the Obama administration coming in to get Christians and private businesses and Catholics to just shut up and let it be. And, you know, it is interesting to note, though, the fact that they attempted to do this accommodation or concession or whatever you want to call it, because the Catholic Church is the largest organized body in America that can oppose the Obama administration, and they know it. So they're trying to placate them, but luckily some bishops aren't stupid and are going to see right through it. So conservativenationradio.org is now on the air at the same time, Monday through Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Central. And like the true anchors they are, Michael Smith and Bing Fisher are still here with Soldiers of Patriotism, Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central. Hey, it wouldn't be conservativenationradio.org without Michael B. and Uncle Bing, would it? Don't miss our signature show, Soldiers of Patriotism, Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. All right, folks. We are here on the Warrior Catholic Show on Conservative Nation Radio. I am Chris Ricketts, your host. If you want to be a part of the program, and I would love to hear from you, the call-in number is 718-305-7176. So we're talking about this new revision in the HHS mandate and how it's a bunch of baloney. There are other things I would like to say, but they're, you know, we try to keep the airwaves clean here on Conservative Nation Radio. So this from Life News, the first lawsuit filed against HHS mandate after revised rules. It's already happened, folks. There's already been a lawsuit filed against it. And this, again, from Life News. The Alliance Defending Freedom attorneys and allied attorneys have filed the first legal challenge to the Obama administration's abortion pill mandate since the announcement last week of additional proposed rules that do not respect the religious freedom of family business owners. The federal lawsuit was filed Monday on behalf of the owner of several small businesses that run senior living centers and skilled nursing facilities in Colorado. The mandate forces employers, regardless of their religious or moral convictions, to provide insurance coverage for abortion-inducing drugs, sterilization, and contraception under threat of heavy penalties. The owner of the senior facilities, Stephen W. Briscoe, is an evangelical Christian who specifically objects to being forced to provide coverage for abortifacients. He says, Americans should be free to honor God and live according to their consciences no matter where they are. A person's faith convictions don't disappear the moment he or she steps outside of a church building, said Alliance Defending Freedom Senior Counsel Michael J. Norton, a former U.S. attorney. This lawsuit puts a glaring light on the fact that the Obama administration just doesn't understand what religious freedom really is. All Americans have a God-given freedom to live and do business according to their faith, and the First Amendment has always protected that. You know, I'm going to expand on that, folks. The Obama administration just doesn't understand what freedom really is. There. That's it in a nutshell. They don't understand what true freedom is all about. They don't get it. They are hard put to take away our freedoms. They think the government is the source of all that we do. They think the government is there to provide us with our living, with our way of life, and everything we do, instead of to get out of the way and make sure that fundamental freedoms are not ignored. Got to take a quick break. Back after this.
It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. The difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. Studies prove that reading to a child regularly dramatically improves reading skills. And kids who read well by third grade are four times as likely to graduate. So United Way is calling for 1 million volunteers over the next 3 years. We're asking you to step up. Make a pledge. Tutor a child who needs help. Mentor a kid who needs someone on their side. Volunteer to read to children. Make a difference. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Entire communities improve. The path to success or failure starts long before graduation day. And the difference between a graduate and a dropout could be you. Be a reader, tutor, or mentor. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge. Go to liveunited.org now. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
And we're back, folks. Hello, this is Chris Ricketts on the Warrior Catholic Show on Conservative Nation Radio. The call-in number is 718-305-7176. And again, I would love to hear from you. I always enjoy hearing from, everybody that has an opinion and wants to call in. Even if you disagree, if you agree, I don't care. I want to hear from you. We're speaking out against the Obama administration and the Democrat Party, who have positioned themselves to be, against freedom, against liberty, and against the wishes of the American people, because they know better. So, with that in mind, that's basically the liberal mindset, is that there are a few people, mainly the liberals, who are enlightened enough and knowledgeable enough to tell everyone else how to live. And all of us rubes here stuck clinging to our Bibles, clinging to our guns, and too afraid to do anything when confronted with something outside of our own sphere. Those liberals are here to help us to expand their horizons and to accept everything that they say. And, you know, that's the liberal mindset, because it's the government, and it is through them changing the way we think that we can reach a truly utopian society. So I say that's a whole load of bunk, and I refuse to cooperate with that. I am going to do all I can to fight against the Democrat Party and their platform and their, their leader, Obama, with all of his drones, both mechanical and the ones in Congress. So speaking of liberals wanting to change our life and change our minds to better suit their agendas, this from lifenews.com. The people behind afterbirth abortions now push moral enhancement. Ah, yes. They've come up with the solution, folks. Don't worry. The Gray Matter Brigade is at it again, pushing artificial means of, quote, moral enhancement to improve the behavior of the human race. Wow. My heart just fluttered. Part of the meme is to become extraordinary without having to earn it through discipline and hard work. With regard to moral enhancement, the hope is to use artificial means to make us think and act in ways that the moral enhancers perceive to be moral. The whole idea stinks of tyranny. And now, from the publication that brought us advocacy for afterbirth abortion, I bring you Moral Enhancement, Freedom, and What We Should Value in Moral Behavior by George Washington University bioethicist David DeGrazia. Public policy decisions regarding MB, moral bioenhancement, should be acceptable from any reasonable view of morality. I suggest that this area of overlapping consensus is fairly broad. That, in large part, is because we can agree on many things that can go wrong with our moral agency, our motives, our insights, or our consequent behavior. Thus, our public policies might support research into, and possibly, if and when some forms of MB are demonstrably safe and effective, and the state is prepared to make them universally available, encourage or even require the use of certain MBs that help to reduce or eliminate any of the following moral defects. Before I get into their version of moral defects, it's hard to, you know, I'm so glad that these liberals are here to decide what's moral for me, because without them, I would be completely unable to think for myself or decide any kind of, have or espouse any kind of moral view. I love the way he says a reasonable view of morality. I'm guessing that Catholicism isn't reasonable. Good. I'm very unreasonable. That's fine with me. So the moral defects that DeGrazia identifies, as usual in articles of this kind, reflect the sensibilities of contemporary academic liberalism, the prism through which proper, quote, morality will be defined by the bioenhancers. And here's the list. Lesser forms of moral cynicism that make one more likely than a good person to be corrupted, to cheat on taxes, not to bother to contribute what one agrees is one's fair share, etc. That's interesting. A more ordinary failure of motivation. Another point, defective empathy as found in persons with narcissistic personality disorder and in others who are very self-absorbed. A failure of insight. Wow, I'm so glad they're doing this. Scientific prejudice against the interests of those outside one's group of identification. Bitter gun clingers. A failure of insight or motivation. An inability to focus on unpleasant realities, example, starving children, the abuse of women, the worst conditions of factory farms, that all reasonable people can agree are morally problematic, a failure of insight. I don't know. Without them there to tell me, I would not be able to be against starving children. I don't know. You know, but what about the abuse of women? Denial of abortion on demand? Is that abusing women? Another point, inability to find creative solutions to difficult problems involving competing interests and values, a failure of insight. So that basically means affirmative action and political correctness, inability to grasp subtle, complicated details that are of undeniable moral relevance. Example, the ways in which affluent persons benefit economically from the legacies of colonialism and slavery and form current injustices such as treaties with dictators or strongmen who disserve their country. A failure of insight. All reasonable persons can agree that the items on the list represent moral defects. And the article says, no, we can't. For example, I know of a certain president who sure seems self-absorbed and utterly possessed of narcissistic tendencies, and yet I would never say it's a moral defect. That's interesting. Now, how are they seeking to do this? They're seeking to do this through drugs and by giving people bioenhancers. What does that mean? So here's their list of things that they're going to do to make citizens moral. Glucose as a means of increasing resistance to temptation to do something wrong or to stop trying to do what one should. Selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors as a means to being less inclined to assault people. I guess that means we could give up our guns willingly. Propranolol as a means of decreasing unconscious racial bias. Wow. deep brain stimulation, example, electrical stimulation of some thing in the brain that I can't even pronounce, as a means to reducing aggression. All those Republicans and their aggression. Neurofeedback to increase sympathy and or treat antisocial personality disorder. Psychotherapy. Selection of embryos that contain a gene coding for a greater disposition to altruism. There we go. I knew they'd be killing babies in there somewhere. Genetic interventions to make gametes, embryos, or postnatal human beings as a means to the same end. So they're going to get in there and screw with the wiring in your baby's brain. Embryo selection or genetic engineering as a means of avoiding or neutralizing genes associated with antisocial personality disorder. Either of these means is a way of securing a stronger predisposition to fairness. Oh, I love it when liberals talk about fairness. It's so coercive, it's beautiful. An artificial chromosome that includes multiple genes coding for stronger predispositions to a variety of moral virtues. Guys, this is crazy. I know it's not about to happen, but they want to get states to require people to use these things. So we're going to be selectively having our children. We're going to be getting it in there and putting in drugs and other things to, quote unquote, increase morality. And we're going to be treating babies with genetic interventions to try to promote fairness and moral virtues. Again, here are a bunch of egghead liberals who are sitting around thinking of ways that we can all be moral based on their specific moral view, or I will call it a lack of morality. Because, to tell you the truth, folks, this just isn't this isn't moral. This isn't morality. This is something that is far more devious and far more, it is far more coercive, and it is absolutely chilling that they're, you know, we have these people out there thinking like that. I don't even know. And again, it's a great example of when morality is, when morality is divorced from its source, i.e. God, then, you know, we have a serious problem. You know, we have a serious issue with that. And that's what happens when liberals do these things. Their source of morality is themselves, their own ideas and their own self-superior, way of thinking for us, you know, for the struggling masses. That's why most of the liberal policies don't apply to the liberals that actually write them. It's for everybody else, just not them. So I'm going to end it a little bit earlier tonight, guys. I've had a bunch of sick kids with the stomach virus, and I'm sure I will get into all those details. But, coming up next week, we have Sister Helena Burns of the Daughters of St. Paul coming on. She talks about theology of the body. She talks about media literacy and using social media to advance the new evangelization. I'm going to try to reschedule with Shelley Lubbin to have her on the air. She's a wonderful person. She has had quite a road. She went from being a prostitute to being a stripper to working in, you know, being a, she was in pornography, and she broke out of that, found Jesus, and now runs the Pink Cross Foundation, helping other men and women to leave the industry and, find and build a better life. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow to hear The Sound of Freedom with Hagen Resch. It is an awesome show. Former Navy SEAL, then a former Navy JAG officer. It's like the Navy is coming back and, you know, ready to take on America. It is a wonderful show, and Carl and Guy have a lot to say about the state of the nation. You know, you can look up Carl Higbee. He was, he's a great guy, Navy SEAL. Guy Reschenthaler is running for district judge up in Pennsylvania, and they have their show, The Sound of Freedom with Hagen Resch, tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central. And, before I go, I just want to let you know that the Warrior Catholic Show does have a Facebook page. Go to the Warrior Catholic Show on Facebook. Click the like button. I send out news stories and updates on shows. And, of course, you can find everything, all the shows, at conservativenationradio.org. I may have said .com earlier. I was wrong. It is conservativenationradio.org. So I am Chris Ricketts, your host, and I love to hear from you. If you want to get, if you want to contact me personally, you can email me at warriorcatholicshow@gmail.com. So I really thank you for tuning in tonight, and please feel free to. I want to hear from you in all the social media or over email, and I enjoy chatting about all these events as they unfold. Keep praying, folks. It's the only way we're going to overcome the tyranny that is growing right before our eyes. Keep your ear to the rail and don't stop talking and exposing what's going on. So until then, God bless. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. We are the Church Militant and we are all warrior Catholics. Go in peace and God bless.